Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, January 5th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience or state into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. Absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see a glowing heart icon. If you tap on that, it will give you access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have called in and either given powerful testimonials about how the use of these tools has improved their lives, or they've actually been stepped through the worksheet process. So listening to those shows repeatedly can serve as a powerful tutorial for this work. And we hope people do that soon and often because that frequently leads to comments, questions, answers, testimonials, etc. And if you have any of those to share with us, give us a call. The call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code, and we can have a conversation. We are starting off the new year, and we are opening up the phone lines asking for suggestions about what we might do during this next year as a theme for the show. We just finished the year 2021, during which each of the days of the week we worked through one of the Course in Miracles workbook lessons, and we accompanied that reading with the Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment offerings, and we wrapped that up again on Monday of this week, and then did a little review, and we talked about it again in the group on Tuesday night. There is a support group that's offered Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, 6:30 p.m. till 9 p.m. Central Time. And we had a group last night, and we were again discussing what people thought about the Course in Miracles work and workbook and what they might be interested in doing in this coming year on Mind Shifters Radio, at least for the first hour. Since our current format is 2 hours, 5 days a week. And so if you have a comment or a suggestion, we've had two people who strongly recommend that we work through the Way of Mastery during this next year. And so that's something I'm considering doing beginning on Monday, depending upon, how it strikes me and what I come up with as a format. That is a book that, when I first got introduced to it many years ago, was Singing to My Soul. And so I have read it way too many times to count, and I have worked with it, and I've listened to the darshans, that the teaching sessions that JM gave back in 2011 through 2014, and I've shared the first year of that, with year and a half of it, with our support group on Tuesday when we were meeting in person. It's over 75 hours of commentary on the first book, The Way of the Heart. And the course, the idea of a book like that is to help people like you and me wake up to the higher potentials of our being, of our awareness, not just our brain as a physiological device, but of our ability to be aware of our awareness, of our true nature, of our spiritual nature, some would say. Very much like the way Michael Singer talks about it in his work, both The Untethered Soul and The Surrender Experiment. And on top of that, he's done an online course titled Living from a Place of Surrender. And we've shared that with the Thursday support group and worked through that a couple of times now. So there are all kinds of options. Our intention with this work is to be of service. And you can assist us in living into that intention by giving us a call and letting us know, what are your thoughts? What are your hopes or wishes for a theme for this year or next year with the Mind Shifters Radio? It's also a good time for me to remind people that I'm inviting and welcoming suggestions about books you've read, podcasts you love and listen to, blog posts that you've read and listened to. I read a blog post from Corinne Zupko yesterday. And if you've got somebody that's really brought clarity into your life or helped you on your spiritual path, I'm looking for those recommendations. I'm looking for input from other minds, other perspectives, and I might interview those people for Mind Shifter Radio, or I might interview them for the On Your Mind podcast hosted by Journey's Dream. I might network with them and connect them with the SameHereGlobal.org team, who is doing very much the same work as Journey's Dream, where they're actively working to rewrite the narrative on mental health to make it comfortable, to make it commonplace that people talk about their challenges and, you know, what challenges them in life and what challenges them in relationships and what they're doing, what skills, what tools, what practices they might use to help them thrive. And that's part of the SameHereGlobal.org website. You can go there and see a whole bunch of celebrities and sports professionals and psychologists, psychiatrists, various types of counselors who are getting on board, collaborating, networking with each other in an effort to help people understand that there's far more to do with, actively do with your own mental health thoughts, emotions, responses, relationships, than simply get stuck and take a pill and go to a doctor and take a pill. There's far more holistic, whole body, whole person, systemic, functional medicine, integrative medicine approaches to deal with any struggles we might have as human beings, whether it's an emotional struggle, an intellectual struggle, a relationship struggle, a career struggle. I don't have the permission, so I'm not going to use any names, but we had somebody who joined the group last night, and she was in a panic and in upset. She'd had the worst fight with her significant other that she'd ever had, and she sent me an email today that said, I want to follow up on our Mind Shifter meeting and wanted to thank you and everyone really so much for the support. I felt empowered. I felt 90% calmer and armed with a better understanding. So much, in fact, that I was able to make contact with my significant other last night, and we had the healthiest, all caps, healthiest and most, all caps, productive conversations we've ever had. He thought I was off base for thinking he wanted to do something other than spend time with me, and he had all of his own upset going, which I learned by talking to him had nothing to do with me. And it lifted the veil completely, and the remaining 10% calm, so she got 90% calm in the support group, and in the conversation with her friend afterwards, she got completely calmed down. She said, the group rocks, all caps, and the people, the same and different people, each time I joined, they're all fantastic. She writes, I kept thinking over and over how grateful I am to have access to such a powerhouse support system when I'm losing my footing. I can't tell you how much it helped, parentheses, but I think I just did, if only a bit, close parentheses, smiley face. So this is a testimony that is relatively rare to get, although I don't think it's rare that people find the groups beneficial. I think it's just rare to have it so specifically stated. And I'm grateful for the group, for the people that come to the group, and I'm grateful that we can offer that as a free service twice a week, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And if you think you could benefit and or you know somebody who could, please share the information with them. All you need to be able to join us again tomorrow from 6:30 to 9 Central or most any Tuesday or Thursday is available on the website at mindshiftersacademy.org. And if you go there, please remember there's a separate login information for Tuesday and a separate information for Thursday. And I'm grateful that I was just able to read that testimonial sent by one of the members from last night, and I'm grateful for the people that show up and help make that group such a welcoming and supportive place for most people. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What's on your mind today? More to the point, if you call that number and press 1, you can support us in helping to live into our intention to be of service. How can we be of service to you today? What might be of benefit for you as a topic or as a question or answer that you might want to run by us that we could explore together. I had somebody last night in the support group who had heard about something I had said on the radio show, and they thought that perhaps I was thinking of working through one of the books by Timothy Freke or Peter Gandy, And I want to clarify, I am not suggesting working through any of those three books. I simply used some of the information in the intro of the book, The Jesus Mysteries, to help loosen the grip for anybody or present material that someone might use to help loosen their own grip on any identification with needing to read great spiritual teachings as though they were literal stories or teachings. And, you know, as these things have come down to us through the ages, many of the great minds know the best way to teach a complex subject is through a story, because a story can be understood, most stories can be understood, at many different levels. There's the obvious literal level. There's the first level of metaphorical story. There's a deeper hidden meaning underneath most that can be found. There's the archetypal meaning as a pervasive cultural understanding. And so the great spiritual teachers understand that the stories they hear about their gurus, their mentors, their saints, their sages, their masters, that many of them are layered, mythical, deep stories not intended to be taken literally. So when you add to that the idea that many historians know that the ruling powers at various times throughout human history have actively worked to change history or to rewrite the meaning of history, then it becomes easier to understand how we might live in a culture that is so solidly based in falsehoods and that's what Timothy Freke and Peter Gandy are trying to help us do with these three books, is understand that, you know, when somebody says the gospel truth, what they're talking about is a series of books and writings that have been censored and edited and rewritten and plagiarized and whittled down and expanded many, many times over the centuries. And so there is no such thing as a gospel truth that cuts across all of the many hundreds of different versions of the gospel and came from some divine source, because they've been edited and reworked and censored by humans for hundreds and hundreds of years. So we will not be going in detail through these three books. We are not trying to turn everybody's understandings or beliefs on their head. We're inviting people to do that for themselves, to learn to question everything you think you believe, and in that questioning, develop a way of living in life. Develop a way of engaging your life moment to moment that you might call living in the question, or you might call it living through direct observation, or you might call it living in the present moment or in the now, be here now, as Ram Dass titled one of his books. And it's an invitation. There's no pressure. We can't force anybody to do that. But we're inviting ourselves and those who want to go on the journey with us to learn to live more in the moment through direct observation, living in the question. And what might that look like? That might look like recognizing that every time I have a negative emotional state, the best use I can make of that is to take a breath, turn the focus inside myself, and ask myself, how am I creating this emotion? If that works and shifts things, wonderful. If not, there's a second question I might use, and that is, what am I making this situation mean? So my mind is showing me a picture of somebody who showed up late for a meeting or walked into a meeting late and started insulting people and acted like they owned the place. That's the picture my mind is showing me. What am I making that mean? That might open up a set of observations, questions, perceptions that is unlike what was there moments before. A third question that I might use anytime I have fear come up is, what is it that I have become attached to that now I'm afraid I might lose? It doesn't matter what the fear is of. I might be afraid I'm going to be late for a meeting. I might be afraid I'm going to die. I might be afraid I'm going to lose the bet I placed on my favorite football team. It doesn't matter. But when I have fear come up, another really good question to help me to be in the observational mode is, what have I become attached to that I'm afraid I'm going to lose? Or what is it I've become attached to believing I need that I'm afraid I won't achieve? So the three questions now are, how am I creating this emotion? Nice deep breath, turn the focus inside myself anytime I have a negative emotion. How am I creating this emotion? Or anytime I have a negative emotion, nice deep breath, turn the focus inside and ask myself, what am I making this situation mean? Or anytime I have a negative emotion, especially if it's fear, take a nice deep breath, turn the focus inside and ask myself, what have I become identified with that I'm afraid I'm going to lose in this situation, the way I'm interpreting it? These three questions, in combination with the tools, the EFT tapping, a thing called havening, the Michael Rice worksheets, the three early memories of conflict, so the power, I'm stumbling for words because the power and effectiveness of those tools and those questions goes beyond words. It's not exaggerating to say that's the core of what I've been using for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and my relationships. So call in number is 563-999-3581. We've got about 35 minutes left to entertain your comments or your questions or to hear who you think we should interview next. I should also say that I'd be happy to take your suggestions through email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And if you've got an idea about a topic, an interview guest, a question, let us know. 563-999-3581 or shoot me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. Someone asked me about this. It's come up like three times in the past week. There was a time when I had on my website a hidden page that had listed the first 31 recordings for the first 31 lessons of The Way of Mastery. And I had a website crash, and that's no longer available. I do have access to them. It's a recording of me reading those lessons because at the time, I didn't know they had, or more accurately, at the time, the price they were asking for the recordings was more than I wanted to pay, and the sample recording that they had was not something that I was satisfied with the quality of. So I began reading The Way of Mastery and recording it onto my computer and then copying it onto CDs. And then I could put it in my car as I drove around, and then I could easily share it with others by giving them, making a copy of the CD and giving it to them. And it used to be that I had some concerns about violating copyright, and I didn't want to ruin anybody's copyright, so I kept it on a hidden page on my website. Well, it appears I really don't need to worry about that anymore because it's available absolutely free on christmind.info, and it's available in all kinds of chunks and formats on YouTube. And I wouldn't be surprised if you search for it, you could find it on various other websites. So as it stands now, I have the first 31 lessons, recordings of me reading the first 31 lessons. They're just not openly available to people. If you've got an interest in that, if you want to explore the powerful tool, which is, I call it a kinder, gentler version of the way of the Course of Miracles, it's the Way of Mastery, you can get it, access to it, and we hope eventually you would go and assist the foundation, you know, buy a book. But you can get access to it through christmind.info. Also there you can get access to Joseph S. Benner and his book. Yes, he wrote a book. And it will come to me, the title of that book. You can also get access to two different versions of The Course in Miracles. And you can get access to the Course in Miracles study group work that came out a number of years ago through someone who was purported to be channeling the consciousness of Yeshua. So stick around and or join us next week. It seems like we're not getting that many other suggestions, so we might be working through the Way of Mastery next year, this year, this coming year. And I'm pulling up the christmind.info website so I can check out the name of the book by Joseph S. Benner. The Raj material is what I was referring to as the individual that held a study group and recorded them, a study group on the Course in Miracles. And then Joseph S. Benner's book is called The Impersonal Life. So, on that website, some of those books are fully searchable. Some of them include integrated audio. Some of them have partially integrated audio. It's quite a fabulous website, christmind.info. And if you like it, let them know you like it. Pass it along to somebody else. The intent of the library is to offer simple, readable, and uncluttered access to the materials herein. And it's a sparse interface by design. So go ahead and poke around. They're inviting that. They say the Library of Christ Mind teachings is offered to you from a deep appreciation and love of the content contained herein, and for the love expressed and demonstrated in the words of each teaching. Within these words is found the motivation and power for real and lasting transformation of the human condition through the presence of love. This work is approached with honesty, curiosity, patience, and a genuine desire for change. And when that happens, the materials presented here will serve as a trusted guide and a friend on the journey of awakening. One of the goals of this site is to bring all the bits and pieces of a teaching together in an easily discoverable and usable format. This is particularly true for the Way of Mastery and the Raj material, which, because of the volume of content, was difficult to compile into an approachable package. Another goal of this work is to integrate audio where they have access to it with the written word so you can read along as you listen and not lose your place. All of that presented at christmind.info for free. So, maybe any of that has sparked a comment or a question. 563-999-3581. Press 1. Let us know what are your thoughts. Have you read The Way of Mastery? Have you read The Course in Miracles? Do you have a suggestion for another spiritual teaching that has brightened your life or lightened your load? Area code 541. You're in the air. Who do we have?
It's Celinda. How are you?
Hello, Celinda. I'm well. How can we support you today?
I just wanted to thank you mentioning Joseph Benner's book. It's one of my hands-down favorites. And I just appreciate him mentioning it. And I think that's all. I'm really enjoying your programs.
Remind me again where you're located.
Actually, I'm in halfway Oregon at the moment. We're continuous travelers in the state of Oregon, so we're living our RV most of the time, but we're spending the winter house sitting here. This is the third time we've been in halfway over a 20-year period. 25-year period, and we just love it here. So hopefully I'm offering up blessings and gratitude and thanksgiving. We can make it our permanent home.
Halfway Oregon. I'm not familiar with that. What's it near?
It's 16 miles due west from the Hell's Canyon Recreation area, which is a federal area, and the Snake River and the Idaho border. It's in northeast Oregon about a zone 5, USDA zone 5, so it gets very cold, wet winters and very hot, dry summers. just underneath, if you were to look at an atlas, the Wallowa Mountains. Excuse me, I choked on a little bit of lemon juice.
All right,
yeah,
I see it on
so
the map
it's a,
now.
It's
west of the Snake River and west of Oxbow. And
right, and it's a beautiful area and very sparsely populated in relation to some government sites. It's called Frontier. We have about 300 people in our town. We have about maybe at the max 1,500 in the valley, something between 1,000 and 1,500 people, mostly ranchers, some small farms. And then the next town going towards Baker City on the Oregon 86 is called Richland. That's our sister valley, Eagle Valley. This is called Pine Valley. And it has about 150 residents and probably 750 to 1,000 ranch outlying residents in that area. And then it's 42 miles before we come to a freeway and where Baker City is located to the east. It's called the wilder side of Oregon, Tim.
The what side?
Wilder.
Okay. All right.
It's a sweet place to live. The community is very supportive. We're a demographic phenomenon because in the early 70s, many, many hippies came in. So we're most of this whole Idaho, southeastern Washington, northeastern Oregon area is demographically mostly what's called Idahoan in their politics and their values and things like that. Halfway is 50-50 between liberal and conservative. So it makes for a wonderful borderland. And because we're so remote, we have learned how to cooperate with each other. And it's very challenging right now between COVID times, but it's also our greatest opportunity to grow spiritually, I feel, and come into the understanding of what diversity means, what freedom means, and what unity means. It's pretty exciting.
Well, it certainly is a challenge these days for people to even hold a conversation because there are so many emotionally loaded identifications that are flying around out there.
Yes, and so much politicizing of it all. Yeah. It's real hard when we get in those places. I had my own lessons that I'm still learning, but I've come quite a ways just since I came back and realized that no issue, mine or anybody else's, was important enough for me to withhold my love for the community or an individual. So I'm practicing that now.
Well, I
my
wish you well in that practice. Yeah, it's
my being love. Sorry.
It's a real challenge these days because the emotional intensity runs so high so quickly for people. And I wish you luck with that. I guess that's enough to say about it. It's just a very challenging time for most of us.
I'll be happy to share with you any wins and failures I have in my journey through this practice. I'm very grateful for the Way of Mastery. I am so thankful you told me about it. I'm reading it every day since the first. And these three questions you gave today are perfect. I'm going to put them in my little journal. I'd heard it before, but I didn't have the opportunity to write them down. And so now I, and maybe I wasn't ready, Dr. Tim, but I've got them now, and I'm going to use them.
Well, I wish you luck with that. That is in conjunction with these other tools. It's a real game changer, has been for me, that, you know, that the growing awareness, I even have times where I wish I had been taught this younger in life. I wish I had found a way to impart it even younger to my sons, although I did give it to them quite a bit. But a growing awareness that I create my emotional state. And I just understand. I work with families, and if they've got young kids or preteens or teens especially, and we introduce them to this concept and these tools, they literally have a dramatically different relationship with their mental emotional life than people who weren't raised with this awareness. And they are no longer at the mercy of, you know, at the whim of somebody else's thoughts or words or rude behavior. They have the liberty to choose their own emotional response to life day in and day out. And that's quite a gift.
Yes, and at 77, I too went through a period of wishing that I had had this when I was younger. And when I now look back, thanks to the Way of Mastery and its gentleness, when I look back now, I think it's impossible. I could never have grasped it at that time as I look back on my spiritual travels and adventures. Now is exactly the right time. And even though my daughter still doesn't speak to me for over 4 years, I'm letting her go. I'm letting her in my, holding her within my heart. I'm letting her have her own process in her own time, and trusting spirit has a firm wrap on her like a swaddling for her growth.
Well, that is a far more productive approach, to my understanding, than all of the other striving and fighting against and trying to get somebody convinced that I'm right and they're wrong, et cetera. So it has helped many, many people over the years that I've worked with to be able to step back, send loving energy, hold the space for their loved one, and just allow. And more often than not, what they experience is a transformation happens when the other person is ready. And if I'm sitting here holding a space of love for somebody and they get ready, then when they turn around and come toward me, I'm here holding a space of love. It just flows so smoothly. If I'm sitting here thinking how foolish of them to have rejected me and they've wasted all this time and they should have come back years ago, I'm not as open and receptive if and when they do change their mind. So it's all to the good for me to stay in my center and use a practice like the Gentle Art of Blessing or the worksheet process or the EFT tapping and blessings, and just allow life to unfold the way it's going to unfold.
No, it's the Gentle Art of Blessing, like a practice, you know, that's something I can look at and get a feel for its process, or is it just...
Yes, the easiest way to go about this, the easiest way to go about this is go to mindshiftersacademy.org.
Okay.
And on that page, on the home page, there's a link for the best of audio files.
Okay.
And on that page, there are only 6 audio files. And the last one, the 6th one on that list, is Pierre Pradervan, when I interviewed him April 9th, 2019. And I did it right here on Mindshifters Radio. So it's an hour and 3 minute audio file. You can click the link and just listen to it right there. And that's the best introduction I have for you. And then, of course, if you're interested, you can get the book, The Gentle Art of Blessing, or you can get the book, 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World, and get an even more in-depth description of the process that he created and has been working on for years now.
Perfect. Because I'm as I mentioned to you before, I'm making what I think a wonderful mosaic for myself of a core amount, a very small amount of teachings. I consider it my written and audio support group, spiritual support group, and one of them is the Neil Douglas Klotz original prayer that I mentioned to you, and another one is the Way of Mastery, and I just have several little ones. And there's one more thought, and then I will let you go on in case somebody else comes on. I was thinking about the Yeshua's story of the prodigal son. And it was so healing for me because I thought, you know, the emphasis was on the son coming home, Dr. Tim, but I couldn't help but imagine that the father went through some very deep soul searching, very deep soul searching within his own heart. And that gave me great comfort. So maybe he also had to be softened in order for what you just said, in order for the son to be able to even come home.
Well, if he was human, right, if it's an actual story, yes. But remember how we were talking about this at the beginning of the show yesterday and today. These stories are not meant to be literal stories. The story of
no.
the loaves and the fishes, the story of the fishermen who threw the nets over to the right side of the boat and all of a sudden they had this exact many of fish, and it was never intended as a literal story. So any way you look at that, a story like that, and you're softening and your heart opens and you get an insight, that's what it's meant to be. If it helps you move to a more loving space, if it helps you see options for yourself that are more inclusive and loving and productive, that's what it was meant to be.
It's wonderful you say that because I have found in my life that I will hear something or I will pick up a book and it sits on my shelf and people will say, well, you haven't even read this book, and it's 7 years later. And I said, I know, but it's supposed to be there. And one time I was reading a spiritual magazine, and it was a Catholic priest that was talking about the violence of the literal translation of holy books. And he said, it's all metaphor, and that anyone who takes a holy book and turns it into a literal meaning will end up creating violence in their world. And that was 20 some years ago, Dr. Tim. Now I am coming into a fuller understanding of that. I grasped it at the time on a mental level, but it's like it's really growing inside of me too now. And that also I have my own little Celinda holy book within myself, my belief systems and all of that, and I'm having to look at that and say, okay, are you doing this literally or metaphorically? And how is this going to increase your ability to be loved in a world so desperate for love and to be loved for yourself, because I also am so desperate for love if I am in a fear state.
So I don't quite understand what you mean when you say I am desperate for love when you're in a fear
when
state.
When I'm in a fear state, yeah. When I'm
desperate
in a fear
for
state,
love, what does that mean? What's the meaning of the word love in that statement?
Well, the meaning for me, and thank you for helping me clarify, is that I have separated myself off, and therefore what do I have left? Fear, hostility, rage, survival. And I myself have so much growing left, and that's as it should be, maybe, for opening myself to be aware and to experience in a profoundly consistent way that I am one. We're all one. No, it's hard to express because it's a feeling, Dr. Kim. And I know when I've separated myself.
Right. When you say it like that, that I'm desperate, you know, to be loved or desperate for love or whatever, it reminds me that we might be using dramatically different definitions for the word love. And in this work, Dr. Michael Rice is very clear about how when we use love, the word love in this work, we're referring to the essence of creation, this energy that we're all made of, your very nature is that energy. And
right.
So it isn't a verb, you know, to be loved by somebody is not the same as to have somebody do loving, cherishing, respectful behaviors toward you. It isn't the same as having somebody send you loving, blessing energy like Pierre Pradervan does. So when you say a phrase like that and you say, I feel like desperate to be loved, it's my mind is trying to put together thoughts like, okay, so you're feeling as though you're not being valued. You're feeling as though you're desperate to have outside validation of your worth, something like that. And then that fits better with what you just described, right?
Right.
Stepping back into the awareness
me.
Of your true nature.
Right. And you busted because I realized when you called me on it that that's more work that or more awakening that I can... It's part of my little girl crying out. And she's very resistant to being.
Your little girl is very resistant to being?
Right. To how does this make sense for you? If I'm feeling, or if I have gone back to 3 years old, and am flooded by that, by some sort of need or fear or something like that, then that's where the language gave me away. You know, coming again back to, I have to do something in order to be loved. So there you go. Very good. Excellent. I'm already there. Well, I don't know that viscerally yet.
Well, it just helps me the more I can be clear with my language. And when I, you know, Michael calls it regulatory speech, when I hear myself say something that echoes an old belief, when I think I've established a new understanding, I can use it as a revelation. Oh, look, I just said I feel the need to be loved. That must mean
right.
There's a part of my mind that still defines love as this verb. Being loved by somebody means I see certain actions from them the way I want them to be. And if I become aware of that, then I can go inside myself and figure out, okay, where's that belief still hiding? I thought I had corrected that. What part of my mind still believes I am not the energy of love or creation, that I need a behavior from somebody else in order to feel good about myself, et cetera.
Or
and the more I
myself.
Do that work, the better I clear up the false beliefs and perceptions within me, and the better my life gets.
I'm going to listen to this again because, as I said, the minute you told me to clarify my languaging, it was like a light bulb went on. And I would say that for me, as I understand me in this moment, it's more about my performance. If I were, then they would. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, which still means that you're operating from a belief that your value is conditional. And
exactly.
The core of this work and of Diedrich Wolzak's work and Guy Finley's work, the core of all that work and the Way of Mastery and the Course in Miracles is to help you understand that your value is internal and unchanging. It doesn't change with the day or the time or your performance in a certain area. So, Celinda's faded connection dropped, so we will leave that there and get ready to welcome Jeannie Rice for our last couple of minutes here. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. I will once again remind people that we have the call-in number of 563-999-3581. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tian. Appreciate you.
Have yourself a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, January the 5th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael just a moment to get dialed in. I'll invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And you can click on the Start Here button, or you can click on scroll down and hit the bullseye. Both of those will take you to the same place. And that's a good place to start. It has lots of audios and videos and PDFs and things you can download and read. And we invite you to just look around. And if you see something that's not working right, or you'd like to see something different, please drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and let me know, and I'll see what I can do about that. We were excited. I've actually been emailing back and forth with our person. It's the first person to write a question within the app and send it to me, and we received that yesterday, and it was somebody from Finland. And so we answered their question, and I sent them back an email and let them know that they could listen to the last 7 minutes of yesterday's show and get their answer. And then I've been writing back and forth with them and also talking to our developers. It seems like the worksheets are working fine in the app for them to do, but then when they went to send me a text, then it was like they were typing and it was invisible. And so I don't know if it's something on our end within the notes or if it's something on their end. Maybe they've got like their letters transparent or white on white or something like that. But we're working on getting that resolved for them, and we were able to answer their questions. And so it's a really cool feature that we've now added to the app. If you haven't updated it or downloaded it, go to your app store, whether it's Google Play Store or the Apple Store, either one, to free download. It's Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And it's free, totally. And there's two different worksheets. Then there's the Dragon Klingon game. There's all the commitments. There's links to our schedules and events. There is a link on every page, no matter which app you're in, where you can type and just ask us a question. And so that's an awesome feature, and I'm glad that somebody's used it already. And then you can also access the radio show. You can access, there's a more button that will take you to a whole bunch of links. So there's just lots of things out there now in the app. So update it or download it and let us know what you think. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here. Delighted that we get to engage in this conversation one more time and to realize that the truth of being, and you can have a direct experience of it, just hold a newborn child, is the presence of love, the truth about us. And if we bought into a different image of who we are, then we behave accordingly. And when we behave accordingly, we end up asking the question, why is this happening to me again? Because until we know who we are, there is no original creation possible. If we think we're the picture in our minds that's been built by the messages from childhood that we've gotten from the world, the messages that came through our genes, then we think so many errant thoughts that it's incalculable. And the objective of work is to recognize an errant thought when it comes forward, and rather than engaging it, rather than giving it any power, forgive it. Now, when I say forgive, I don't mean let that thought off the hook. You know, the world's been given a massively errant thought about forgiveness, and that it's got something to do with, you know, somebody or something out there is the problem in my life. They did it to me. I mean, how many that are listening believe that there's somebody in your life, if they would just change, your life would get right on track and all things would be well? Well, you know, that thought is true. There is somebody in your life that if they would change, your life would get back on track. And that somebody is you. If you've denied responsibility for that, then the parts of you that need to get on track, the parts of you that need to be changed, you only see them when you project them into your brain's image of someone else. And so there's all kinds of advice for everybody else that's never applied to oneself. When you start applying that advice to yourself, you find that you are a genius at giving advice. And so our objective is to get on track with who we are as human beings, what is a human being, and our definition is very simple. And it's experiential. It doesn't come from, you know, all the flowery words that people can speak and, well, everybody's got a different definition. Just hold a newborn child. And when you allow, if you can get past your own self, when you allow yourself to taste of the essence of the newborn child, you know what love is. And simply, that's the truth of who we are. So we're looking to restore that awareness and to offer people the tool of removal, tool of forgiveness. And recognizing that the word forgive doesn't mean letting another off the hook, but rather is the tool of removal. And so we're here to offer support for understanding that, for bringing that into full expression in each and every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And for those who've fallen into identification with the false self, and of course I apply that one to myself, recognizing how many years I lived not knowing who I was as the active presence of love, there seems to be a massive delusion on planet Earth that we are creatures of weakness, of pain designed for suffering and death. Or some people think they're creatures of abundance and other people are the ones that are supposed to suffer and die. But everyone who buys into either side of that discussion ends up in that game of suffering and death because it becomes part of the false identity that we bought into about ourselves. And so to recognize that those energetic patterns of pain, suffering, trauma, and death have nothing to do with human life. People say, well, Michael, just look around the planet. It's everywhere. Yep, everybody's bought into the delusion. That's why it's called a mass delusion, a mass psychosis. And it's time for us to be restored. It's time for us to learn to remove those aspects of what appear to be self that aren't true from our the energetic patterns of those things from our physiology and be restored to the truth of who we are. So in a nutshell, that's what we're here to do. And we would love to hear your comments, your questions, what your experience is of using the tools. We would love to know if there are gaps in the presentation and any of the tools that we can help to fill in, or if you need any kind of support in processing. And in this work, we define processing as the ability to hold love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up. And the skill of processing is a learned skill. You know, the average person, hostility or fear comes up, they fall into identification with it, and it is though they become that hostility or fear. And if that's what happens, if that's the habit we've had established in our lives and in our minds, then processing becomes impossible. Oftentimes, when we initially step into doing process work, it's because not ourselves, but someone else is able to hold that space of conscious, active, present love for us as we move through those things that are less than love in us. So we're honored and delighted that you're here to be part of the conversation. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the chat room with a thought for us or anybody in the phone queue with a question? I hand up.
I guess it would help if I unmuted, right?
You're unmuted, okay. Sweetie. Yes, we got you.
Okay. No, nobody has a hand up and it's all quiet in the chat room. So somebody, we've got 50 minutes. Let's press one. Let's have a conversation. What do you want to talk about? What can we support you with?
So what's on your mind? If you're out there in the phone queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no questions. But yesterday when we were talking about the person who wrote from Finland, and they were saying that they kind of slid right through when it came to asking Rukka for support and how did they feel. And I thought, well, I can send them the feeling wheel. A lot of people have challenge separating thoughts from feelings and actually identifying what is it they're feeling at that time. So I just thought about that. I'll send them the feeling wheel, and anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, if you go to our website and scroll down just a little bit, there's actually, it says popular resources, and you'll see that's where the book is and apps and more and the radio show and different things. But you can click on the button that says quick print, and there is a quick print of the wake-up sheet. In other words, you just click one button and it prints it. There's also the feeling wheel and the emotional chart. And then there's two commitments. So those are in there as a quick print. And a lot of people, I think, overlook that. So that's under the popular resources. If you scroll down just a little bit on the website, you'll find that. So I'm going to send them a link to that. But I think a lot of people have challenges sometimes in identifying the difference of thoughts and feelings. And of course you talk about that our feelings are shadows of our thoughts. So maybe talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's an exercise that we do in the Why Is This Happening to You Again workshop, and we invite people to allow themselves, and let's do it right now. It can be a very powerful exercise if we've never distinguished between the two. And so what I'm going to do is just ask everyone, if you would, allow yourself for a moment to feel sadness. And as you do, take a breath and notice where in your physiology you're feeling the sadness. Take a breath to focus in love. Breathe through that part of your structure where that sadness resides. Let it loose and let that expression, let that energy of love take over. And then for a moment, allow yourself to feel fear. And as you tap into and feel that fear, notice where you're experiencing it in your physiology. Take a breath, let the fear soften, and just let it go. And then, for a moment, allow yourself to feel anger. Notice where you feel the tension of anger in your physiology. Take a breath and let it go. And allow yourself to just come to a place of balance. Breathe deeply. Let everything in your structure soften. And then I invite you to notice what it is that you did to go from sadness to anger to fear. What happened that caused you to move from one of those states to another? And if you haven't noticed, what you did was you changed your thoughts. And now somebody might say, well, yeah, but I just thought about a situation that made me angry. I thought about a situation that made me afraid. I thought about a situation that made me sad. My offering is no, that's not what you did. You had a thought that produced the sadness, the anger, or the fear. Now, you can play the game of denial and say, no, the situation made me feel that way. And I'd offer your mind is lying to you if that's what you believe. The reason you feel any of those energies is because you have a very powerful feedback mechanism. And my take is, it's a gift from the Creator that we've been given this feedback mechanism to tell us the quality of our creative process. You know, if you go back to the ancient teachings, they tell us we're made in the image and likeness of the Creator. If you're made in the image and likeness of the Creator, then you are a creator. Now, everybody loves the idea of being a creator when the creation is going well. And everybody, when the creation's not going so well, has somebody to blame. But my offering is that the feedback mechanism we were each given, called emotions, mechanism to tell us when our creative process is on target and when our creative process as human beings is off target. Now, the cell biologists have proven to us that when we think a thought, what shows up in our physiology is a neuropeptide, an actual molecule. So the energy of the thought condenses or reflects as a molecule, and that molecule circulates around in our structure, according to the cell biologist, until it finds a cell with the receptor site that matches. When that molecule lands on that cell, my take is that the landing process activates a signal that tells us about the creative process we're engaging in. So emotions are the feedback from the landing of the neuropeptide on the receptor site on the cell. And if it's based in some form of hostility or fear, I'd offer that its purpose is to inform us that our creative process is off base. We're doing something that's out of harmony with truth. And if we'll apply forgiveness, and you know, if we're in the habit of thinking thoughts and blaming others for those thoughts, thinking thoughts that produce fear, sadness, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, then at first we may be hooked into, yeah, well, you see, I have to get them to change, because if I can get them to change, then I won't be feeling this way, because it's they doing what they're doing that make me feel this way. But the reverse is true. When they do what they do, they resonate or activate thoughts, and oftentimes they are energetically doing things in response to the very thoughts that create the untoward feelings. So when I take responsibility for the emotions that move in me, paying attention to my feedback mechanism. And if I find myself in all kinds of negative emotions, then I stop and realize that I have forgiveness work to do. And forgiveness, as opposed to being the act of letting somebody else off the hook, which, you know, the whole Greek idea of forgiveness has reinforced this whole denial, dissociation, and projection game. It's all everybody else's fault, and therefore we should be letting them off the hook. When in truth, the word forgive is the tool with which you go inside yourself and find the untoward thought, the untoward energy in you that never belonged there in the first place, and you remove it. You allow yourself to become aware of it through forgiveness, and by exposing that untoward mind energy to the active presence of love, it begins to dissolve. So we're here to support the dissolution, literally, for every mind on the planet, every thought that produces any form of hostility or fear. So I can be in the middle of a situation. I say, yeah, they're making me so mad. Boy, every word they say, and they open their mouths, and I just get madder and madder and madder. Well, what I'm really telling myself is every word they say is reflecting the thinking that I have related to them. And the thinking that I have related to them is producing my disturbance, my pain, and my upset. When I apply forgiveness in those situations, actual first century Aramaic forgiveness, then I will be freeing myself from the thought structures that keep me on that path of negativity. And as I remove the hostility and fear, I become aware on a much more subtle level of the energetic truth about myself. If I don't bring rage or fear or guilt or grief or pain or drama or trauma to a situation, there is no fear or guilt or pain or drama or trauma in that situation. Each person that brings fear and guilt and trauma to a situation gets to experience their own energetic dynamics while pointing a finger at somebody else. But if nobody brought any of that to the party, there would be none of that in the circumstance. And so each one who chooses to do their work and remove the hostility, the fear, the rage, the pain, the drama, and the trauma from their own structures, when they no longer bring it to a circumstance or situation, they no longer experience it because it's no longer in them. You know, we've got this test for determining whether or not something you're feeling is yours or not. How do you tell? You're feeling it. That's all you need to know. If you're feeling it, it belongs to you. If it belongs to you, it's inside of you. If it's inside of you and you never forgive it, then it will play out over and over and over and over again as a why is this happening to me again experience. And if I've accumulated, if I come from a family system of ragers, of guilt inducers, of fear and hostility, then there's going to be plenty of that forgiveness work to do in the initial stages, because my mind will want to go back to and default to that over and over and over and over again. When I realize that the only reason I'm defaulting to it is because it's in me, when I let go of my addictive need to continue in that hostility or fear, and remember that hostility is purely a drug. Hostility is purely an anesthetic that anesthetizes me against the pain that's going on inside of me. So one of the downsides, which is also an upside to forgiving hostility, is you get to feel your pain. Now, most people say, well, Michael, you know, I'm really not interested in feeling my pain. I think I'd rather stay angry. Well, are you interested in ending your pain? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to put an end to my pain, but I'm really not interested in feeling it. Well, if you'll never sell yourself the truth and allow yourself to feel what's there, you will never change it. And if you keep anesthetizing yourself, I mean, hostility is not a feeling. Hostility is an internally produced drug. It's an anesthetic that covers pain. The more one rages, the deeper the pain is in them that they don't want to deal with. When we wake up and realize that, then we can step into making it a part of our lives to be forgiving, that is, removing whatever's based in hostility in us. And the next step is you get to feel what's under the surface. This healing process is not a Dr. Feelgood process. It means you have to get real. It means you have to allow yourself. You know, maybe you were 13 when that first rejection came along. And maybe that's when somebody introduced you to beer and you started drinking. I remember one young man who came to Heartland. He was in his 40s and he had not drawn a sober breath from the time he was in his early teens. I don't remember exactly, 12, 13, 14. He started drinking then. And when he was finally willing, you know, I mean, that's a long time to be sousing yourself in alcohol. You know, if you take two molecules of alcohol and take the water out, you've got ether. It's an anesthetic as well. That's why a lot of people, if you take their alcohol away from them, become very enraged, because their next drug of choice is the internally produced drug of hostility. But when we own that and we start to create the space to work through that, that experience of the internally hidden pain becomes temporary at worst. Yeah, it's not Dr. Feelgood. Temporary state of getting real with what we've been doing to ourselves. And what forgiveness does is it collapses the cover story. Forgiveness collapses the fantasies we live in that everybody else is the problem in our lives, and opens a space for us to face squarely what's going on inside of me that is the problem in my life. And as I strengthen my ability, as I build my relationship with active present love and bring love more powerfully present in each circumstance, You know, most people, a conflict happens, and love is out the window, and they're right into their rage, their guilt-inducing, their blame, et cetera, et cetera. When you replace those habits with, oh, here comes some rage, I think I'll turn toward and bring love present, then the dissolution of pain and trauma begins. We are here to support the total and complete dissolution of pain and trauma. We are not made as human beings for any form of pain or trauma. And it's time for us to recognize who we really are and put an end to guilt, fear, rage, drama, and trauma. To be restored to the truth of that newborn essence that we are, that love is meant to be the predominant resonant energy within our field and within our experience, no matter what anybody else is doing. Somebody else's behavior can be, you know, three sheets to the wind off the wall, and I don't have to go there unless I have a match to what's going on in them. And as I apply forgiveness and remove those energies that match what's going on in them, I have less and less inclination toward going into that hostility or fear. You know, people have that underlying deep rage. They go, you make me so mad. When I take a breath and I stop, notice to say something like that, how everything has to tighten up, and that's the holding on to those energy patterns. When I breathe and I stop, I realize that that's the instance where I can begin to remove that underlying rage, to stop using that anesthetic, that drug, and to step forward as active present love. And as I do that, I create safer and safer spaces for me to show up as a human being. And I am more attuned to the energetic patterns around me, the conversations around me, and I'm open to being guided to how to create conversations that bring healing, that bring active present love forward in everyone engaged in the situation. So that's kind of another nutshell on where we want to head with these tools. And of course, as Jeannie said when the show opened, one of the best ways to engage the tools is just to download that app. Go to your app store, type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You will be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. You can do any one of two different worksheets that are designed for that to support and assist in facilitating forgiveness within yourself. You can engage the Dragon Klingon game. It's designed for kids, but adults have found that going by it through the steps in that way opens another space of awareness in them. You can ask questions directly from inside the app. We recently put, there's a meditation called Wellness to Stillness that for the last 40 years has been a paid CD or used to be a cassette tape. It's now a freebie within the app. You can click on it and listen to that meditation anytime you want. There are links to virtually everything on the website, and I'm just so proud of what you've done, Jeannie, and how powerful that app is becoming and how great a service it is. And so once again, if you're out there in listener land, let's have a conversation. Second half of the show is designed to be a dialogue. Dyad is two. There need to be two of us to have a dialogue. So we'd love to hear your voice. How can we serve you? What can we do or support you with in bringing these tools forward? You know, the refinement of the questions that people ask is oftentimes a gift that really gives to us and empowers us in doing the work, in sharing the tools. You know, I shared the other day that, you know, there's a story that I've told many, many times over the years about crabs in a bucket, and that, you know, if you don't put a lid on it, one crab in a bucket, it'll crawl out, two crabs in a bucket, and the first one starts to crawl out, the second one will just drag it back in. And it was in response to somebody's question that I realized that literally our whole genetic structure, whatever is built into us genetically, through hostility and fear in the generations, that those generational voices are like crabs in the bucket that pull us back into the hostility and fear-based mind as we work toward moving back out. And to me, that was like such a gift from the person who asked that question. So your questions are always a gift. Sometimes people, I've heard from people who hesitate, well, you know, I don't know if I have the right question. Your question will always be, if you're at some stage in working with these tools, your question will be perfect for you and very likely for many others. It will teach us who perhaps, you know, have been doing this so long that we forget sometimes what person who's just beginning needs to hear, and that question reminds us. So we would love to hear from you. We would love to hear your experience of using the tools. You know, oftentimes it's the sharing of someone's breakthrough that really opens a space for someone else, for someone else to go, oh, wow, that's powerful. I can do that too. So if you're out there in listener land, again, if you're on one of the stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Call that number. You'll be listening to the show. And if you push one, that'll put a hand up. There you go. Somebody push one. Awesome. Let's have a conversation. Sweet.
It's area code 517. I think this is Angie. We haven't heard from you in a while. How are you doing, young lady?
Hello. It is Angie. Hi.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. I am doing well. I just looked down and my phone is at a low percentage rate, so I'm in the process of plugging it in. Give me just a second.
Okay. Well, we can hold a second.
So I appreciate the metaphor about the crab. I recall early in my work with Rex, and I was in a little symptomatic of a mania. I was attempting to explain to him, I feel like a turtle. And I got down to show him what it felt like on his living room floor.
Right.
Like, I'm coming out of my shell to look around, but then I got to go right back in.
Stay safe, eh?
So fear and, you know, now looking at with my eyes and body sense now, so, yeah, back into the heart and close up shop and back into the fear, you know, fear-driven mind. And so it's a powerful metaphor.
Yeah. So have you found a new habit?
Yes, and I can see echoes of the old in certain situations, which is part of what I put my hand up for support with.
Let's go for it.
I brought my phone back here into my space away from the paper that I have.
You want to go ahead and grab it? Go ahead. We can wait a second.
Okay. Thank you.
That's cool.
And I'm in a couple of really profound why again moments that I see. I know they're
right.
Nested within each other, and they're so big. So I'm asking for support. Maybe a mind shifter. I've been really diligent in my wake-up sheets. So in my it's been over 3-year romantic relationship, that has completely come to a stop, and we are still living together.
Right.
And there are things, like, now I'm getting all of the feedback now of where I was totally projecting. I was in absolute denial and pain and using him as my excuse.
Right. I hear you.
Ouch.
Sounds like it's been a big wake up to start to move beyond it.
Yeah, it's.
My invitation to you would be to be gentle with yourself as you do this, and when you recognize, you know, gee, I was doing this total projection thing, blah blah blah, and you could get back into a big power person blame dynamic on yourself. To be gentle,
right?
Take care of yourself,
yeah.
And recognize, oh. This is the next pattern I'm working through, rather than I deserve to be beat up for doing this.
Right. Yeah, that would be what I would have gone into in the past. And I'll call them echoes, like an echo or a shutter where I can see and I can feel, and it'll move through me like a wave, like, oh, remorse, regret, shame, guilt, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay, aha, I've been diligent, I've been committed. I know it's possible. I know what my birthright is, and I've claimed it. It's mine, and I will continue.
Right.
So in my living situation, this is... One of my big why agains, I have, there's just on this precipice, it feels like there's one thread that I could pull and the whole thing is just going to fall down and I'm going to remember the truth and, it's like see the light. My mom used to say, well, Ange, you know, you got yourself into a real pickle this time. This is, like, specifically with my relationship with my ex-husband.
Right.
You know, you're between a rock and a hard place, and this was literally, that was a moment that really truly was life or death.
Mm-hmm.
Of the body.
Right.
And, you know, in those years, I really feared for the lives of my son and my daughter and my parents. There was, you know, threat often that if I ever left, then blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's not happening now, but I can feel the echoes. I'm aware that it's up for restoration. And so before that, as a teenager, I...
Breathing
really
with you.
I raged against my mom specifically, and her mandates, her rules, her ideas of who she thought I should be, or this image that she needed me to help her uphold. And I felt like it was life or death, and I kept trying to run away, like from 17 on. And then, well, 17, I moved out the day I turned 18. And so historically I've recreated this like pressurized situation where I feel like I have nowhere to go, which I know a lot, like in my knowingness, I know that's not true. And I'm totally safe here. And I like it here. I don't want to move. I actually see now that there's parts of me that I don't want the relationship with Tyler to end. And I can release
it. Sounds like
it.
There's some grief to be processed. Before you can get clear on that.
Yeah, I'm just seeing all the ways he was, that he did show up.
So my invitation at this point would be, and, you know, we talked the other day about the commitment and the fact that you noticed a change in it. I'd invite you to perhaps take that commitment out and put it in front of you and Tyler and make sure that
I do it.
If you
picture, he's
so,
unwilling,
so
which is part
be,
of my resolve. I really
so if
wanted
you were to take
I
it out and
to
speak it. Yeah. If you were to take it out and speak it, he'd be unwilling to listen to it, you're saying?
Yeah, it's part of why. So we made that commitment back, you know, in the late summer, early fall to each other. And it, this is my pained perception. It was just too much to ask of him. He couldn't keep his commitment. He actually just started even looking at me again. So,
So once again, an invitation to him to just be with you and listen to you. No response required, Tyler. I just want you to know that this is my commitment to myself and to you. This is what I am going to do. No requirement of him, no request of him. But, you know, if you see where you've projected into your brain's image of him, the kind of echoes that you're talking about, using the commitment will help you to clean those echoes up out of your life as you move on from that relationship, or as a recognition of the presence of love that's there renews that relationship. I don't know what direction it's going to go, but I know that if you'll speak it into that space, you will heal on a whole other level. This propensity to project.
Yeah, that makes sense. I have been reading it, and so my projection is, and I know it's the same as his. Like, I was doing things that triggered his feeling like he wasn't good enough, and at least I think. I guess I'm not sure, but that's definitely mine. Like, I feel like I don't even deserve your time. Like, and that's so not true. He gave time in the way that he could. It hasn't been from intimacy, from just presence.
Right. And oftentimes, just offering that oftentimes when one can't take that willingness to be there into the arena of intimacy, it's because there's too much hurt and pain to take into intimacy, too much, it's too much of a burden, too much has been opened up. So perhaps being able to step back from the demand for that and create an open space for what's been triggered. It sounds like some deep hurt and pain has been triggered for him. And oftentimes, you know, for a male, when hurt and pain is triggered, the body doesn't work very well. And that's another whole big issue in the culture. And so it's easier to just avoid it altogether.
Just to create a space
for that processing.
So that feels better to me. Like, I've seen it from the beginning, and he shared that a past relationship is the reason he keeps his heart closed and his defenses up, and that he's not willing to share his truth or any words. And I'm sure that I came in and even, you know, whatever, however subtly and at moments in the last month or so, not so subtly triggered and, you know, added insult to injury.
So perhaps if you could, if he would accept your invitation to just listen, nothing needs to be said, Tyler. Nothing needs to be done on your part. I just want you to hear what I'm working toward and to speak the commitment and perhaps recognize some of the things that you have projected and that they're the things you're working on. And here's what you're committing to on the next level with no demand of him whatsoever might create a space of safety where he can feel safe to come forward. Because I know that when that non-being mind has its pain resonated and activated, it's like there's nobody home. Like, you know, even if I wanted to be here, I couldn't because the pain is screaming so loudly.
Yeah. And the alcohol is...
The alcohol is just another anesthetic, just another way of covering the pain.
Yeah.
Alcohol, yeah. Drugs, rage, they're all the same. They're just ways of anesthetizing against pain. And when the pain is screaming so loudly, it's difficult for a being to show up in that body. Like
yeah.
Nobody's home. The tender,
yeah.
feeling nature of being covered with pain has difficulty showing up. Especially where there's the perception that another attack is going to take place.
Yeah. And I know, and I have known that just being in a female body, just being a female, initially, you know, without doing the work, without engaging the tools, I know that there's so much stuff for him that, and him, the same as for a man, for me.
I hear you. So with no demands, just here's what I'm, you know, here we are living in the same house. We do get to see each other. So here's what I'm working toward actually doing in relationship with you as we move on from this space. And to do that without requirement, without demand, just I just ask you if you'll hold the space for me to do this, and if I fall off the wagon, point out to me, support me getting back on track can be enough to create a safe space for some communication to begin to open. And it's communication that when someone's not home, brings them back to being there.
Yeah. Which was, it was my desire all, but it must have been a goal based in the perception that it wasn't there.
Well, and when there's so much pain from the ego aspect, from the non-being mind, there's no space for being to show up. There's no space for the true human to show up. That's when we're functioning fully out of the false self, the hostility, fear, terror, and pain-based self. There's just no room for being. And until that gets quiet enough, you know, quiets down enough for even a crack to open for being to show up, until that happens, you know, there's nobody home.
Yeah.
And what appears to be a human is just a set of programmed responses based in hostility, fear, pain, and trauma that just keep playing like a loop on a record. There's no life in it. It's just a loop. And an interruption in that loop can allow the space, the crack to open for, oh, yeah, I'm in here too, and I can show up. And, you know, remember that from the Healing Through Relationships work, you know, the one of the main attractors, or probably I'll say the main attractor for people who carry pain and trauma is matching bags of garbage. Right. And you know, which when my matching bag of garbage is activated, it's going to resonate your bag of garbage. And when your bag of garbage is resonated, it's going to resonate my bag of garbage. And now the downward spiral happens. You'll think about the movie The War of the Roses. That's all. I mean, you look at that movie, The War of the Roses, and there's maybe 45 seconds of the whole film where being starts to show its face, and then the non-being loop starts and back down into the trauma they go.
Mm-hmm.
And to create a pattern interrupt with the commitment creates a space where, you know, being can start to move back into awareness. And, you know, we can be there. We can actually, as human beings, can be there. You know, most people in the relationships where they're matching bags of garbage, the relationships are not with beings. They're with bodies.
Yeah.
And we identify ourselves and this other person as a body. There's no room for human life, for actual love to show up. You know, the ego's cheap copy, sex shows up, yeah, or self-sacrifice or, you know, what have you, but there's no actual presence of love possible there. The commitment's designed to open a space for actual present love to be there. And remember, when, you know, even if it's just for a fraction of a second, love can show up. That active presence of love begins the dissolution of the non-being pain.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've witnessed it so many times.
Yeah.
Well, I can feel, like, that just thinking about asking him for that. Mm-hmm.
No demands.
No demands, but it's, so I've been asking the whole relationship. So it's like my fear of rejection again. That's built into my perception of not.
So how about doing the worksheet, you know, like kind of like preemptively heal your pain, do the worksheet around canceling your need to be accepted, to be acknowledged, to be supported.
Yeah.
And allow the chips to fall where they may. Get to the point where that part of self that has fear of rejection is in healing mode, and total rejection can come, and you still maintain a space in yourself for being to show up.
Yeah.
Rather than running the loop of, oh, I've been rejected again.
Right. Right.
You know, and from what you said about Tyler with his past relationship, it sounds like your loop, his loop of rejection, conflict, just runs automatically. And to get out of that, you know, whether you stay in that relationship or move on, you've got to get out of that loop within yourself.
Yeah, which I will. I am, and I will, you know, regardless of what Tyler does or doesn't do. I know that this is an opportunity for me to collapse all of this in on itself.
And the willingness to make the request can create such a space of showing up that it changes everything. You know, the thing to get is everything that creates the separation is based in falsity. But
I
it's the
that.
False
yeah.
appearing real that keeps the loops going.
Yep, yep. Oh, thank you for that. Next week.
And as long as I have a part of me that still believes in the loop and you have a part of you still believes in the loop, the War of the Roses is on when that thing rears its ugly head. If I can interrupt that with, oh yeah, boy, when you just said that, rejection came up for me and I'm ready to puke on you for rejecting me. And I realize that my pain about being rejected is inside of me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring love, conscious, active, and present within my own physiology. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to offer it to you. When it passes through, you've resonated the part of me that holds this pain. When I pass active love through that part of me to you, I get to heal that part of me. When he does that for him, he gets to heal that part of him. Now we've moved out of the downward spiral into an upward spiral. But it takes full, conscious, active volition to do that. It doesn't happen automatically because that's not what's in our genes. What's in our genes, what's in our history, what's in our generations is, oh, you say the wrong word, I say a bigger wrong word, you say a still bigger one, and now we're screaming and raging each other, and that's the loop that runs.
Yeah. We don't really
do that. So it's dissolving that loop.
Yeah. I know it can and will come down in a blink.
One holy instant.
Yeah.
And then creating one holy instant after another.
Well, I'm curious to, I'm inspired to ask if Jeannie is doing any private mentoring. I am inspired to work with a woman.
Jeannie does do private sessions?
Yes.
Jeannie does do private sessions. Jeannie, you want to step in there, sweetie?
Sure. It will be after this week. We're actually in the Smokies with Michael's kids until Sunday. But then after that, I'll be back at the house. And so you've got my email. Just stay in touch and set it.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you, Miss Jeannie. I will reach out and be in touch via email. Enjoy the Smokies.
We are. It's absolutely this morning. I mean, you really see why they call it the Smokies. When we arrived here a couple of days ago, it was 70 degrees when I unloaded the car. The next morning, it went down to 20, and we had 6 inches of snow. This morning, the snow is still hanging on the trees, and there's blue haze throughout the trees. It's just absolutely beautiful. Took a picture. In fact, check out. I posted it on my Facebook page. It's just gorgeous. And so Jeannie will be, you know, will actually be leaving here on Sunday. I'm going to head to Louisville on Sunday to do some work with a dentist there, and Jeannie is going to be going back to Bristol, so we can set something up for Monday or later in the week and move forward.
Very
and
nice.
It sounds like, you know, that's beautiful country.
One of my most favorite, cherished places in this country, yeah.
Cool. Well, we're down to the last minute or so, and know that we are both extending a space and energy of support for both of you, whatever direction you go with the relationship, whether it's opening and rebuilding or just healing and moving on, whatever it looks like, we're here to hold the space for both of you, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much. All right, you guys enjoy.
All right, holding you in our hearts. Everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.